once again, it is our missions month. So I put on like my Filipino shirt. I don't wear it often, mainly because I don't go to enough Filipino weddings to have to wear something like this. But I didn't put on the real formal one, but I wanted to be missions-minded and festive in my attire this morning. And Clara's going to be sharing with us from God's Word, also a little bit of her ministry with us. She is one of our longtime missionaries that we have supported as a church and a ministry here. And it, as a pastor, it's always kind of a joy to be able to meet some of our supported missionaries and to hear firsthand from them what God is doing in their lives and in their ministry. And just for me personally, and this is what I always able to take away, it just allows me to be more informed in my prayers for them and to really be able to identify a face with a name and then an area of where God is at work. And as I said in my kind of closing prayer from the musical worship time, just we get to partner. One of the hallmarks of our church here is we have had the opportunity and the pleasure of being able to partner with so many missionaries around the world for so many years. As we are coming up on our 40th anniversary as a ministry, that has very much been a part of who we are as a church. And that's not going to change. And it's one of those things where as we're seeing God at work there, you know, we're reminded of the work that we need to be doing here. Because the call is to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And they're taking care of that, but we have an obligation and responsibility as well. And so I welcome the challenges that come from hearing the fact that God is active and alive around the world, and then just trying to think, God, what can we do as our part of the world? Because on the other side of the globe, this is the far end of the world. And unfortunately, some of those countries are sending missionaries here. So let's I welcome Clara, and I thank you so much for being a part. Let's turn this on for you so that it works. And look forward to hearing what you have to say. So thank you. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Let me read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 24. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Well, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, out of my sight, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Church, and but for those who don't know me, I'll give a very brief introduction. I'm teaching at William Carey International University, assigned by Frontier Ventures. My mission organization is called Frontier Ventures, and William Carey International University is not in any university. Okay, it's working now. Do I need to repeat myself before this? Okay. it is actually a missionary training institute, but we cannot call ourselves mission training institute because we teach through the internet, and our students are distributed globally in many countries. And there are some countries that are persecuting Christians, and of course missionaries. So we call ourselves International University, and I've been a missionary for over 30 years. So okay. Now today we just read this passage, and today I would like to share this topic with you. The church holds the key of God's kingdom. The theme of this mission month is let us arise and build. So what are we going to do? How do we arise? Build what? One time before I became a missionary, I was a pastor in a church. I live in the church building. And one day I lost my purse, and I was really nervous. It's not because I lost some money, but it was because the key to the main door of our church building is inside my purse. And I worried as if someone found the key and would sneak into the building and start to steal things from our church. And I prayed, and then the Lord showed me where the purse was. Okay, suppose you oversee keeping the keeping of the key to the president's residence in the White House, okay? And you can decide who could go in. But if you lost the key, how will you feel? Wouldn't you be very nervous and have to call security and all this, right? But do you know that there's a place that is even more significant, much more important, and much more glamorous than the White House? The key, that palace is actually a whole city. It's made of gold or precious stones and pearls, and the key to this palace city is actually given to our church, Chinese Community Church of South Bay already. Do you know that? He said, no. Well, why didn't our pastor show us the key? I've never seen this key. Okay, I'm not talking about a physical one, okay? Now, what we read, I will explain on what we read and explain what that key is. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord said to Peter, saying that his name is now called Peter, because he is going to build his church on this Peter, the name of Peter, it means rock, and he's going to build a church on this rock. And he has the authority of opening and shutting the kingdom of God, because he has given the key. Now this authority is not only given to Peter, he has not a special person that has special privilege, and is not the first pope of the church, actually, what the Lord was saying that was, I forgot to press on the PowerPoint. Okay, press too much. Okay, here we are with the right slide. Okay, now, actually, the Lord is prophesying what Peter would do in the future. In Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter, when he preached, there were 3,000 men, not including women, but who came to the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ. And we know that this became the first church after Jesus Christ resurrected. And this church was in Jerusalem, and let's call this Jerusalem Church, okay? And they're mainly composed of the Jews, with some Gentiles in the church, but they follow the Jewish practice. And then Peter was the one who started the first church. And then later on in chapter 10, we saw that it was also Peter. We saw that there was a incident that there were incidents that people preached to the Gentiles, but Peter was the first one who preached to a big family of a Gentile clan. And they all accepted Jesus Christ. So he also started this ministry. And then later on, when the Jerusalem church wanted to reject the Gentile church, it was Peter who led them and advised them to accept the Gentiles as co-citizens of the kingdom. He told them he saw a vision, and the Lord showed him that Gentiles are also, they also accept, they also have the same Holy Spirit as the Jerusalem church has. So we saw that in the Bible, if you are, whoever has the Bible, will you please turn to Matthew chapter 16. If you notice on verse chapter 16, okay, Matthew chapter 16 in verse 18, if you notice, Jesus said, the gate of Hades, that is the gate of darkness, the gate of Satan, of where Satan dwells, and his power will not overcome it. What is the it? Will not overcome the church. Will not overcome the church. So the key to the kingdom of God was given to the church, and the gate of Hades cannot overcome the church. The key was given, the key to the kingdom of God was given to our church. We are part of the church. And so we can say that South Bay Chinese Community Church has the key to turn on the kingdom of God. This authority of opening and shutting the kingdom of God is given to all churches who bound and release in the name of Christ. We will explain later what it means by bound and release, okay? Now, this whole conversation, if you notice when we first read this passage, it started on 13. The whole conversation started from the setting of that Jesus came with the disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And that's actually the northest region that Jesus Christ has been, and is at the northern part of the Jordan River. It was a plateau with beautiful greeneries, and but there's not many Jews there, and but they believe in all kinds of gods, and when Jesus was here, there's no Jewish religious leaders who will intervene what Jesus taught, and but among all these various gods, Jesus asked, "Who people say that I am?" And he wanted his disciples to know for sure who he is. And then Peter said, "You are the anointed king, and you are the son of the eternal God." And so we see that in verse 17, Jesus prays. Peter said, "Oh yeah, the Father really showed this truth to you. Finally, you figure out who I am." And some people said, "Oh, he's some of the two famous prophets," and some people said that he's a great man. And but Jesus pointed out who Peter pointed out who he is, and so Jesus praised Peter. And because of that, he confessed that he is the Son of God. That Jesus started to mention about the key to heaven, that he will build a church on this rock. Yeah. He's solid. His faith is solid then. Okay. But in verse 23, only five verses later, we saw that Jesus rebukes Peter. What happened? Praise and then rebuke. Wow, what did Peter do? So let's see what he did. In verse 23, it says, we have to start from 21st. Well, after they figure out who Jesus was, he's the king, he's the king anointed by God, and he's the son of the eternal God. Then Jesus explained to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Jesus knew his identity on earth, that he has another role. He's also the suffering servant. He was the suffering servant on earth. But Peter didn't like it. So Peter took him aside, and actually, there was a very strong word there. It says, Peter rebuked Jesus. He said, no, this shall not happen to you. Don't do that, okay? Jesus said, "Out of my sight, Satan." Wow, it's a very strong rebuke. He's now called Satan. He said, "You are a stumbling block. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Now, at the things of man, okay. We human nature, who would like to suffer? No one of us would like to suffer. But Jesus then explained on 24, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it." Jesus reminded them, if this is the way I have to go through and you are my follower, you have to go through the same path. You have to remember both my roles, not just a savior, but I'm also a suffering servant. And we followers, especially in developed countries and in countries where we have no persecution, we Christians tend to remember Jesus as Savior, but we forgot that Jesus has another role. He was a suffering servant. And we tend to forget that we had to follow his path as well. So it is very important for us to remember that. We must deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. Now, let us see some examples in the world how other Christians understand and are practicing their faith like this. Okay, I'll let you read the few lines I forgot to read, to press again. Okay. Now, the brown area are what we call restricted area. What we mean by restricted is that the law might say that they have religious freedom, but in practice, the government persecutes Christians, okay, and of course, missionaries. So they will either imprison you or execute you if they find Christian activities going on, or if the Christian activities are going in a way that they don't like, okay? Now, the kind of yellowish one, we see that in Indonesia, India, Turkey, and then in Africa is Kenya, Ethiopia, Mali, and I forgot which one. Can you see what's the name of this country? Anyway, there are four countries in Africa. We see that these are what we called, let me find out my... get back my map here. Hostile areas, okay? These yellow areas are that the government doesn't have a law that says that we don't restrict and prohibit Christianity. But culturally, the community and the families would persecute and even kill people, even their own family members, they will kill them if they convert to Christianity, okay? And then, oopsie. And then the brown area is what we called, it's increasing trend of persecution. It's not yet hostile yet, but yet, we see a trend that is getting to the stage of being hostile. If you look at this world map, it covers many, many countries, right? Okay. Now let's see how the Christians in these areas, how they're living. Now I'm not going to mention which country it is. The church in this particular church was burned by someone who's hostile to them. And then, suppose, say, our own church building, okay? Our own church building. Our mind come back here. It's burned on a Saturday, okay? Now, it comes to Sunday morning. Whom of you, when you know that your church was burned by hostility, you will come back to worship on Sunday, today, this morning? Whom of you will come back? Would you like to show your hand? I don't know what to do. Right? They went back and they worship in the burnt church. Okay, now this is in Pakistan, and they baptize in a public place, But they're actually risking their life because when they publicly were baptized and practicing baptism, they could be killed right at there. But they're willing to pay the price for baptism. You know what they are doing? Distributing the Bibles. When you think of distributing Bible, you think of a truck or something like that, right? Now, when the children were given the Bibles, they were so happy. Well, we have our Sunday school. Our children every Sunday week they come to Sunday school. Kind of like, oh, I don't want to go to Sunday school. Mom is bringing me to Sunday school. I'm sleepy. But these children so excited they got the Bible, because Bible is very precious. It's very rare to have a Bible. And if the father of the family were persecuted, executed, and if they were fortunate, the mom would still survive. If not, poor parents got killed. The children, they need shelter. Or even the widow, the widows need shelter. And when we saw that church, the world map, it was published by, and all these pictures were published by the Voice of the Martyrs and mission organization that works in persecuted areas, helping both the spread of the gospel and the churches. They built shelters for the persecuted families, the Christian families. And it seems like I do not know whether they just arrive at the shelter and they're thirsty and drinking some water or what. Okay. Now let's come back to our passage. The church is a spiritual house of living stones composed of living people. It's not just a building. And the church has the authority to bind or release. We have the key to the kingdom of God. How is this so? The teachers of the Bible in Jesus' time, they used the word to bind and release as to forbid and to permit. If we do not use the key to the kingdom of God, we are forbidding or preventing people to go into the kingdom of God. We are closing the door. But if we open it, we will let people into the kingdom of God. How do we do that? For example, if we do not spread the gospel, if we do not do missions, we're closing the door to the kingdom of God. Like if someone says, I want to be baptized, but yet you say, we do not believe that you really believe in Jesus Christ, that we are not going to baptize you, you have the authority to not let them in. But yet, our church has indeed long been using the key of kingdom, of God's kingdom, supporting global missions. So from this year on, let us ponder much on the role of Christ as a suffering servant, even unto death. We'll pay close attention to the persecuted churches around the world and those countries where the gospel is prohibited. Let's go back to chapter 16. 16:18. Let me get back to the verse. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, Jesus explained in later on the saying the same thing in chapter 18. If you turn to it, you find it in 18:18 and 19. I tell you the truth, whatever you build on earth will be, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So this is not only to Peter, but to the church. Let us unite our hearts to pray in the name of Jesus Christ and resist Satan clamping power over this, all these, remember the map, over all these areas. When we pray, we start the key. When we pray, we start the key to oppose the power of Satan. And we have the power to open up the gate of heaven. So let us resist Satan's clamping power over these countries. May we arise to unite with the sovereign church, turn on the key to the kingdom of God, and build in the kingdom of God in those areas. Let us pay attention to where there is Satan's power clamping on those countries, resisting the gospel. And then we will use our prayer to resist the power of Satan. And he cannot overcome our power, but we will overcome Satan's power. But if we do not do so, we are turning off the key and we are preventing people to go into the kingdom. As a church individual and as a member individually, or as a church together, this is how we can turn on or off, bind or release the kingdom of God. And since we have been turning on the key of the kingdom of God, supporting global missions, how do we this year arise and build? I would suggest that we remember more of the role of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. Let us learn from the world's different countries, our brothers and sisters from different countries, how they practice this truth in their faith, that Jesus Christ has another role as suffering servants, and that when we follow him, we go through the same path. When you saw those pictures, how many of you was thinking, oh, these are my brothers and sisters, and the Bible says, if one member of the body suffer, they suffer, so I'm suffering. How many of you, when you saw those pictures, you thought that they were your church members? When we think of your church, usually you think of this church, right? You don't think of globally the church of Christ. But when Jesus said here, I will build my church on this rock, did he say he will build South Bay Chinese Community Church on this rock? No, he's talking about his church, his bride. All it belongs to him. So let us change our heart in remembering that for the sake of building the kingdom of God, for the sake of building the church, let our heart be moved and be touched when they remember the map that I showed you. Remember there's areas that the gospel was prohibited. Remember that there are churches, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that they are suffering in persecution. And let's get it when we remember it like that. And when we come together, we are not talking about the game that we saw yesterday. Do you watch a game? Who's matching whom? Is it a game with Lake and with against what? or which restaurant you went to? It's so tasty. We will chat about those things. But when we get together, let us remember that we remember so much that it's just naturally part of our life. We will even talk about these things. And when we gather together, it's not even a church meeting, but when we're talking together, we say, hey, let's pray about this country. Hey, let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering. It will be just internalizing you and be part of you. Let us build our lives and build the kingdom of God this way, in this year. And how can we do that? How can we remember? That map, I cannot even recite the countries anymore after 20 minutes. No problem. Actually, all the pictures I scan from this calendar. And every day they will suggest you which country and how to pray for them. It's a whole year calendar with different pictures. See, this remember this picture? Yeah. So I scan from here. So, our church is going to help us to order this calendar if you like to buy it. And Deacon's James already put where? Downstairs. That you can sign up. And collectively, if we make a bulk order, that will be a discount for us. And I didn't look into how many it is, how much it is. For one, but I believe that if we make a bulk order, it will be cheaper, and it's worth it if you buy one calendar, and you can, although they publish it every year, but it's still valid if you use the same calendar for several years, so it's worth buying it. So I hope that when you go down, you sign it up, and our church will be different from now on. So let's pray.